الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووتد بالصخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا الممجد بشيرنا المصدق نذيرنا المعيد المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين قال عنهم الرسول اللهم إن هؤلاء أهل بيتي وخاصتي وحامتي لحمهم لحمي ودمهم دمي يؤلمني ما يؤلمهم ويحزنني ما يحزنهم أنا حرب لمن حاربهم وسلم لمن سالمهم وعدو لمن عاداهم ومحب لمن أحبهم إنهم مني وأنا منهم فاجعل صلواتك وبركاتك ورحمتك وغفرانك ورضوانك علي وعليهم وأذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغذيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم ومناقبهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. أما بعد، سلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. As an introductory remark yesterday, I mentioned about the state of the affairs of the Muslim Ummah just 50 years after the demise of the Holy Prophet of Islam. I also mentioned that the state of the affairs of the Ummah, or the status quo at that time, had reached a point where individuals that were raised by the Holy Prophet of Islam himself, or the children of those who were raised by the Holy Prophet of Islam, did not understand the value and the meaning of who Abu Abdullah was, or the status of Abu Abdullah. As a consequence, these individuals committed this heinous crime in the battlefield of Karbala to kill the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. What had happened in these 50 years is something for you and I to ponder over, is something for you and I to understand. When we study Islam and we try to read the true message from Quran, we see that the Holy Prophet of Islam was sent for specific purposes. And this is mentioned in Quran. The Holy Prophet of Islam was sent for two primary tasks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. Allah is the one who sent the Holy Prophet of Islam to the people of Mecca from within themselves. What was his task? Why was he sent? يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. His primary task was to recite the verses of Quran before these people, to familiarize them with Quran. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. When they understood Quran, then to be able to fathom and comprehend Quran. So the first task was recitation of the verses to familiarize them. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And then to purify them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Through this book, the purification will take place. And then give them the jewels and the secret meanings of this book. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Although these people prior to this were in an open transgression and error, and they were totally astray from the right path. So now we see that the Holy Prophet of Islam was brought for a particular purpose by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people of Mecca. Prior to him, prior to the Holy Prophet of Islam, there were many other prophets that came in their own times, and they gave a specific message to the people of their time. When we look at Ibrahim, you see the message of Ibrahim. It is a universal message of Tawheed. When you look at Musa, it is a universal message of Tawheed. When you look at Nuh, it is a universal message of Tawheed. Any prophet prior to the Holy Prophet of Islam, you will see the message is universal, and that is to teach people Tawheed, or the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this unity? And what do we understand by Tawheed? Is it just to say there is no God but Allah and we have understood Tawheed? No. In fact, Islam is Tawheed. In fact, there is nothing but Tawheed in Islam. In fact, Islam can be given a different name of Tawheed. Everything as far as Islam is concerned revolves around Tawheed. Oneness, absolute unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Islam is. How do I understand? Let me tell you the people to whom this message was brought by the Holy Prophet of Islam. These people were Meccans. Sometimes you wonder why this message was not revealed in United Kingdom. Why was this message not revealed in America? Why was not revealed in Canada? Why was this message not revealed in other eastern areas such as Iran or India or Pakistan? It was revealed to the people of Mecca from amongst themselves. Why? So that people understand the ideology that was being followed by the people of Mecca and the people of Hijaz and the people of Arabia at that time was the lowest possible character of a human being that you can imagine being practiced was being practiced in Saudi Arabia at that time. Now, today I call it Saudi Arabia, but then it was not Saudi Arabia, it was Hijaz. I specifically mentioned it because nothing much has changed anyway. But, the message was brought to the people as far as the people were concerned, who were the most ignorant people. The period, the era was called the era of Jahiliyyah. What does that era mean? The era of ignorance. That was the era. What was happening there? Let me tell you, so that it is understood. It is so we can then understand the message of the Holy Prophet of Islam and why this message was revealed there. The era at that time was the era of Jahiliyyah. The people of the time were ignorant. You know how ignorant they were? And then how it changed and it became what it became during the time of the Prophet. And then I will bring you back to 61 after Hijrah. This era of the Holy Prophet of Islam, or before the revelation of the verses of Quran and the introduction of this pristine religion before people, the era was the era of Jahiliyyah. What did people used to do? What do you understand by the era of Jahiliyyah? How do I understand this period? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in Quran. It gives an example of a community that used to bury their daughters alive. Right? Have you heard of this era? You have heard of it. Have you seen it today? No. Because we consider ourselves as enlightened individuals or people with refined intellect and mind. Allah talks about a community and He speaks about a specific group of people. For example, by order of revelation, you know, the Quran that we hold in our hands today is not by order of revelation. It is the largest surah, Suratul Baqarah, and then it carries on. By order of revelation, the fourth surah that was revealed to the Holy Prophet of Islam was Suratul Kuwirat. That was the fourth surah that was revealed to the Holy Prophet of Islam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. When you carry on in this surah, there comes a verse of Quran that says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when a small child will be asked, or people will be asked, in relation to the child that was buried alive, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, for what crime was the child killed? So there was a community that used to kill the children. Let me introduce this era to you even more. And then we come to what the Prophet made of them, and then again 61 after Hijrah. So it begins, Islam comes in the era when people bury their daughters alive. In another verse in Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. Allahu Akbar, listen to this verse and imagine the era prior to Islam, pre-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when a father used to be given glad tidings that a daughter was born to him, that his wife had delivered a baby girl. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى. When glad tidings were given to the father that a daughter is born to you, ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. The face of the father used to turn dark with anger that a daughter was born to him. He used to wonder, why was the daughter born? Why do I have a daughter in my... It is humiliation for me that a daughter is born to me. ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. This man used to hide away from people because of the bad news he had received that a daughter was born to his wife. Look at the beauty of Quran for those who appreciate Arabic language. Allah uses the word وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ. Bushra is glad tidings. The response of these people was, Allah says, when good news was given to them that a daughter was born to them, their face used to turn dark with anger. يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. They used to hide themselves away, hiding away, because of the bad news they had received that a daughter was born to them. Then what did they used to do? أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. They used to wonder, a father used to wonder, should I live with the humiliation that a daughter is born to me, or should I bury her alive? Ala sa'a ma yahkumun. What an evil judgment they used to make. So this is the era, so that you understand what kind of an era it was pre-Islam. If you read the riwayat, one day, a father had buried his all his daughters that were born to him, he had buried them alive. This wife of his became pregnant again. She was carrying a child, waiting for delivery. During delivery, when she was heavily pregnant, the man had to travel out of Mecca. While he was away, his wife delivered a baby girl. In fear that if he comes back, he will bury this daughter alive as well. She went and spoke to the neighbor, who probably had some understanding of the values of humanity. She spoke to the neighbor and said that a daughter is born to me. I know my husband will kill my child. Is it possible for you to raise this baby for me? The neighbor agreed. The child was given to the neighbor. When the husband returned back from his journey, the father said, "What happened? Where is the child?" She said, "He was stillborn baby. The child was a stillborn baby. It did not survive." So that was the end of the story as far as he was concerned. Of course, the neighbor's child started growing up. His own child, but this neighbor's child. This man grew fond of the child. Every time he saw the child, he became fond of her all the time. There came a time when he used to play. He used to buy gifts for her. When the mother was comfortable enough now that the father has grown fonder of her and that he brings presents for her, maybe it is time for me to tell him that in reality this is your own child. So she found a time, the best moment, a good environment, when he was in the best of his moods. She disclosed to him that the child that he was fond of was his own child. What the riwayat says next is shocking. What the riwayat reads next is something that you will not believe. It says that the father, when he learned about that child being his child, one day decided to take the child to play because he was fond of her. He used to buy gifts for her. He used to play with her. He grew fonder of her. So he said, "Let's go and play a game." He brought her to the middle of the desert. He said, "Let's dig a hole." The child is a grown-up child now. So the father and the child both started digging a hole. And they carried on, and this was supposed to be a game. When it was enough, the father said, "Why don't you lie down here and I start throwing sand at you?" She said, "Okay." So she went inside. Instead of lying down, she remained standing up. The father started throwing sand at her, gradually, slowly, until the sand reached here. At that time, the innocent child said to the father, "Father, I do not want to play this game anymore." But nothing was going to stop this man from burying his daughter alive. And he eventually buried her alive. This was the era pre-Islam. No, let me tell you more. Kaaba or Mecca is a place of worship for years now, for centuries. Ibrahim built it. Prior to that, it existed, right? The area existed. The house was built by Ibrahim and Ismail. People used to go and worship there. How did they used to worship? They used to circumambulate around Kaaba naked. That was the society pre-Islam. They used to worship idols. They used to pray to the idols. There were 360 odd idols inside Khanah Kaaba. Each idol had a function. Each one of them. There was an idol for rain. There was an idol for rizq and money. There was an idol for so many things. Everything that you needed, it had a specific idol you could go and ask from. And they used to go and worship to these idols to the extent that they started making idols with their own hands and placed them at home and worship those idols. There came a time when they wanted to carry their idols with them. So they used to make idols and carry it with them, put it together with them as a good luck to them. There came a time when they started making idol from halwa. Halwa. You know what halwa is? It's a sweet, in Arabic sweet. Although it is now become an African sweet as well, or any other sweet, but I am talking about the Arabic sweet known as halwa. They used to make idols out of halwa. Then they used to wear them so that it gives them good luck. And if they had a problem somewhere, they used to worship this idol of theirs and ask.
But at the same time, the jahalat and the ignorance was such that when they reached a point where they were fully hungry and there was nothing to eat, they ate the same idol as well. They ate that same idol as well. This was the time pre-Islam. For me personally, the greatest achievement of the Holy Prophet of Islam was to change the mentality of these people, removing them from there and creating Salman Farsi, and creating Abu Dharr Ghifari, and creating the greatest of the people. For me, it is the greatest achievement of the Holy Prophet of Islam, for to change the mentality and the ideas of such people was not an ordinary task of the Holy Prophet of Islam. And that was the meaning for which he was sent. That is how he was sent. That is what he was told. You must reform these people. So now he taught them Tawheed. And he told them what Tawheed meant. And he explained to them what Tawheed was. The idea of these people changing totally. And they started following Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He started changing the ideology of these people. Suddenly, these people now had no regard for anyone. You know, Mughaira or Abu Sufyan, pre-Islam, were the millionaires, if you like, people who were politicians, people who had positions, people who were high. To see them, to have a look at them was an honor. If he passed by outside your house, the streets would be blocked just to see Abu Sufyan. Now, suddenly, or if Abu Sufyan came to your house, then people used to sit the chair on which Abu Sufyan sat down. People used to not allow anyone to come and sit because Abu Sufyan had sat on the chair. But the mentality changed by the influence of the Holy Prophet of Islam to the extent that now Abu Sufyan was not regarded as anything. In place of Abu Sufyan, Salman enjoyed a higher status. Bilal Habashi enjoyed a higher status, who was a slave. That is the change in mentality. That is the reformation that took place. Now, if Bilal came to your house and if you were a Muslim, then Bilal had more status, higher status than Abu Sufyan or Mughaira or anyone. Then came the times of the first ever war that took place in Islam. The first ever war that took place in Islam. The Holy Prophet of Islam did not have a ministry of defense. There was no MOD at that time. He was the ruler, he was the man, he was the person who was guiding them. The people, the companions of the Holy Prophet of Islam were so poor that they did not even have money to buy swords and weapons if a war was to take place. So, those people who had swords, carried swords with them. Those who had camels took the camels. Those who had horses took their horses. They came to the first battlefield. When they look at Islam, look at the reformation that has taken place now. During the war, if there was an availability of one Muslim who was so selfish only few months ago, one man who was so selfish by the ideology of the time and the society, so selfish that who did not care or have regard for anyone, that very man, now he has a date in his hand. He eats only a bit and gives it to the other one. And the other one shares it with the other. One date was shared so that people could eat together in the name of Islam. Then the Holy Prophet of Islam migrated from Makkah to Medina. Having created this group, this state, this society, he moved from Makkah to Medina. When he arrived in Medina, the Holy Prophet of Islam, together with him he took the Muhajirin. These people who were reformed, these people who understood Islam, they knew the value of humanity, they understood what Islam was all about. He brought them to Medina. In Medina, there were people who are now known as Ansar, the helpers.
In Medina, it was not easy, but the Holy Prophet of Islam changed the mentality of the people of Medina. He gave one person to each family to look after. He then recited the seerah of brotherhood between them. He then fought many battles in Madinatul Munawwara. So these were the people. Now Salman Farisi, Abu Dharr Ghaffari, and the likes of them were created by the Holy Prophet of Islam. Come 50 years after the demise of the Holy Prophet of Islam, the very children of the companion of the Holy Prophet of Islam turned against him, used their own barbaric system, and did what they did in Karbala, which you are going to listen to every day during these days of Muharram. What changed? What happened? From nowhere into everything, and from everything back into nowhere. What changed? It is for you and I to ponder and think. My fellow brother, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Imam alayhi salatu wassalam in his wasiyyat says, "Uridu an amura bil ma'roof wa anha anil munkar." What I want to do is enjoin people to good and forbid them from evil. And what I want to do is to reform the ummah of my father and my grandfather. I want to bring that reformation in them so that they can understand where the true Islam lies. I mentioned to you yesterday, on one side, there were people who were reciting La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and on this side, it was the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. The very Prophet whose kalma they recited, his grandson was killed by their own very hands. What went wrong? Identifying these problems is imperative for any leader of any community, any society, any country. To be able to identify problems within the society is a primary responsibility of any leader. One of the worst things that can ever affect an individual, a community, or a society is hypocrisy. Is nifaq, is for people to allow hypocrisy to take place. Tell me, here those people recited La ilaha illallah, they recited Muhammadur Rasulullah, and on the other hand, they killed the very person who had the flag of Muhammadur Rasulullah in his hand. If it was not hypocrisy, what was it? There came a time that the problem within the ummah reached a level. You tell me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Salat is something that will prevent you from doing something which is evil or wrong. Salat. So the function of salat is that it will prevent one who prays from evil acts. Correct? That is the function of salat. These people prayed or they did not pray. I told you when they prayed. Yesterday I mentioned to you. What did the salat do to them? Allama Iqbal, one of the reformers of Pakistan, a scholar, a literary figure, a great man, has written fantastic poetry. Every stanza of that poetry is worth pondering. He wrote a poem known as Shikwa. Shikwa. Shikwa means complain. In this poem, he makes a complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He presents himself as one who complains to Allah. Then he writes another poetry in which he presents himself as God responding to that complaint. So it is known as Shikwa and Jawab Shikwa. That will explain in two words what the status of the community is, or of the ummah was at that time, and how we can identify those problems. He says, in one of the poems, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing his Lord, he says to him, "What is it that you are doing to us, my Lord? Tere Kaabe ko jabino se sajaya humne." He talks to Allah with audacity, and he says to Allah, "Tere Kaabe ko jabino se sajaya." We are the ones who beautified your Kaaba with our forehead. Tere Kaabe ko jabino se sajaya humne. Tere Quran ko sino se lagaya humne. Your Quran is carried in our bosoms day in, day out. We are the protectors of your Quran. Human beings. He talks about us. Tere Kaabe ko jabino se sajaya humne. Tere Quran ko sino se lagaya humne. Phir bhi humse ye gila hai ke wafadar nahi. My Lord, are you still complaining that I am not loyal to you? Hum wafadar nahi, tu bhi to dildar nahi. Is now, this is not an ordinary statement for somebody to say this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Lord, if we are not loyal, then you are not also somebody who is very looking at us favorably. And then he says to Allah, قَهَرْ تو یہ ہے, the limit of injustice that is taking place, قَهَرْ تو یہ ہے کہ کافر کو ملے حور و قصور. The limit is that the kafir in this world is enjoying hoor as well as qusur. Qusur means palaces and mansions. So he says that the limit of injustice is that qahr to ye hai ke kafir ko mile hoor aur qusur aur bechare musalman ko faqat wada hai hoor, and the poor Muslim is only being given the promise of a hoor after that. Is that what you are, my Lord? So he makes a complaint that how can you be my Lord? What kind of a Lord are you? That kafir who doesn't worship you, he is getting hoor. Do I need to translate what hoor is? I'm sure everybody knows. Had to ye hai ke kafir ko mile hoor aur qusoor. In this world they are enjoying everything. Aur bechare musalma ko faqat wada hai hoor. The poor Muslim is only getting the promise of a hoor. Allah then responds. In his jawab shikwa, he then portrays himself as Allah. And then he responds. What does he say? He says, "Why is a qawm?" Now imagine Allah speaking now. "Why is a qawm mein wo shola maqali na rahi?" The speakers of the community do not have heat in their speech anymore. Waize qaum mein wo shola makali na rahi, naqshbandi na rahi, pukhta khayali na rahi. There is no broad thinking left anymore. Reh gayi rasme azan, rooh-e bilali na rahi. What is left today is the rasm, is the tradition of azan, but the ruh of Bilal is missing from that azan. Reh gayi rasm azan, ruh bilali na rahi, falsafa reh gaya talqin ghazali na rahi. The philosophy is there, but the teachings of Ghazali are no more. So he says that we have reached a point that everything has become ritual. Everything has become traditional. Everything is ritualistic. Islam is a progressive religion. If you understand Islam as a progressive religion, then you will know that you will have to leave behind so many things. Otherwise you may end up being like those who killed the son of the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. Hypocrisy is one of the detrimental problems that causes to happen. What was this if it was not hypocrisy? On one hand, there is La ilaha illallah. They are taking the instructions from the Holy Prophet of Islam. They are reciting the Quran that was revealed to the Holy Prophet of Islam. They are doing everything in regard to the Holy Prophet. They are taking advice from Hussein ibn Ali regarding Islam. And at the same time, they turn away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I will elaborate on this at some point, but today, this is suffice it to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Qur'an-i-Majeed, in relation to the hypocrites says that their characteristics are very, very similar to each other. Very similar to each other. The characteristics of the people who are hypocrites. Look at Yazid, look at Muawiyah, and compare each one of them that you know as hypocrites. Look at them and understand. Allah says, there comes a time, if you want to examine them, if you want to see them, if you want to study them, if you want to know who these people are, you will find these characters in them. Then he begins in Suratul Baqarah, verse number 8 onwards until verse number 20. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Amongst the people, there are those who say, we believe in Allah and we believe on the day of judgment. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. And they have total belief in the hereafter. That's what they say. This is, Allah is now talking about hypocrites. He says, when you meet them, this is what they say. مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. We believe in Allah and we believe in the day of judgment. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they also believe on the day of judgment and آخر. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. When they are told, brothers, believe, they say, Allah, we are believers. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ مَعَكُمْ. And when they go back to their shaitans, they say, إِنَّ مَعَكُمْ, we are with you, but we are only mocking with the mu'mineen. This is the characteristic of a munafiq. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. When they meet the people who are believers, قَالُوا آمَنَّا. They say, we are also believers. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ. And when they go back to their friends, قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. They say, no, we are with you. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. We were only joking with those people. اللَّهُ يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِمْ وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mocking with them. And He has granted them respite for the disease in which they are. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَؤُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. These are the people who are hypocrites. They have bought error by selling guidance. Allah says, what a beautiful way of expressing it. They have sold guidance in return for error. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. This transaction is not going to benefit them, ever. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. And they will never be guided. Then Allah gives another example, and I will come to that some other time, but I'm just quickly moving so that I can get back to the subject. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَؤُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Then Allah says, مَثَلُهُمْ كمثل الذي استوقد نارا. Their example is the example of those people who have lit fire around them because it's dark. So what they do is they light fire so that they can get light. Now Allah is giving a similitude of those people who light fire so that they can get some light. أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين مثلهم كمثل الذي استوقد نارا. They light fire around them. فلما أضاءت ما حوله. When all this is lit around them, what does it mean? That means they have now made friends. They have acquired fame. They are now great people. Now they are people who are being looked at. That is the life that Allah is talking about. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. There comes a time, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah takes that noor away from them. And He leaves them in darkness so that they are not able to see. The verse after that says, صُمٌ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They are deaf, they are mute, they are dumb, they are blind, they will never return back. This verse, صُمٌ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ, is memorized by everybody. Everybody knows, especially because if you are scared of dog, then it is more day, I'm sure. People normally who are scared of dogs, they recite Summun Bukmun Umyun thinking that the dog will run away. Is it true or not? You recite Summun Bukmun, you probably have heard or you probably recited Summun Bukmun Umyun Fahum La Yarji'un. That's why people, or if you have to pass the customs without being looked at, then you recite Summun Bukmun Umyun thinking that the custom officer will not look at you. That is not the reason for the verse being revealed. There is a deeper meaning to this verse, so that people, a friend of mine in America mentioned to me that he was trying to cross the border from Toronto. He could not get the visa for America, so he was trying to cross the border from Toronto to go to America through Buffalo. So he came in, somebody took him in the car, and he was in the booth of the car while they reached Buffalo. On that day he was unlucky. The custom officer stopped the car, so they opened the booth and they found him there. And this is a true incident. At least this part is a true incident. The later part he may have just created a joke, but I'm just relating it to you. He says he was then taken there, and then he was put in the behind bars to be sent back to Toronto. He says while we were inside the cell, they brought the dog in to search us. And the dog was brought inside. And he says, I started reciting Summun Bukmun Umyun Fahum La Yarji'un. He says, a friend of mine, two of us were caught. Two of us were behind the cells. He says, the dog started approaching. The more he came, the more I recited Summun Bukmun, the more he approached me. He said, the more I recited Summun Bukmun, the more he approached me. So I said to my friend, today Summun Bukmun is not working. So my friend said to me that this is an American dog, it doesn't understand Arabic. That is why. My fellow brothers, Summun Bukmun Umyun Fahum La Yarji'un. These people are deaf, dumb, blind. They will never return to guidance, nor is Allah ever going to forgive them. Look at Yazid. He claimed to be the ruler of the time. When you call yourself Amirul Mu'mineen, the law first applies to you, then it applies to the people. When you are a leader, the law of Islam first applies to you. You must practice it first before you tell people. If you tell someone to pray, you must pray first before you tell people. If you ask someone to fast, you must fast first before you tell someone. Correct? Otherwise you will be considered a... I didn't want to say it. So I know you are listening to my madlis. I'm not wasting my time. You know, I am going to give this example. And it is not meant for anything except to put the point across. So take it exactly as it is coming, for I speak without any apology. It is an example that I give. We have a tendency of a dichotomy in our conduct, or at least I have. When there is dichotomy in my conduct, when there is nifaq in my conduct, when there is a problem within me, when I am two-faced, it becomes a problem. Example. When you say, pray namaz on time, then you must pray namaz on time as well. True? So sometimes people do matam. I'm not propagating this. It is just an example that I'm giving. Please, people do matam and the time of namaz comes. So what do we say? Listen, namaz is wajib. This is not wajib. Pray your namaz first, and then we can carry on. True? But then that should be our stand all the time. When I'm sitting in the office making $1 million deal, and it is time for namaz, I must stop it there as well. When I'm sitting wherever I am sitting, and it is possible for me to pray, then I must leave everything as well. Otherwise, there is a dichotomy in my conduct.
Otherwise, I have no right to say to somebody else to do what I don't do myself. لِمَّ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَعْمَلُونَ Why do you say what you yourself don't do? Yazid ibn Muawiyah tells people, do this, it is Islamic, or do that, it is Islamic, when he himself, sitting in his position, wherever he may be, does not follow Islam. There is nothing but dichotomy in his conduct. There is nothing but hypocrisy. And Allah will never forgive these people. Never. Aizan Muhtaram, chand lamhe reh gaye hain mere paas, aur main isi subject ko ab Urdu ke andar aapke samne pesh karke aur inshaAllah masaib ki taraf aa jata. Mere aziz dosto, yaad rahe, nifaq ek problem hai. اور یہی ہوا کربلا میں منافقین کربلا میں آئے یہی ہوا کربلا میں کہ ایک طرف نماز بھی پڑھ رہے تھے اور دوسری طرف سے فرزند رسول کو قتل کرنے کے لیے بھی آئے تھے ایک طرف لا الہ الا اللہ محمد الرسول اللہ کا کلمہ پڑھ رہے تھے اور دوسری طرف اسی کو قتل کرنے آئے تھے جس نے لا الہ الا اللہ اور محمد الرسول اللہ کا کلمہ پڑھایا اسی کے سامنے آئے تھے میرے عزیز دوستو ایک مرتبہ بہلول کو جانتے ہیں آپ مجھ سے بہتر آپ کے پاس سوسائٹی بھی ہے اس کی الحمدللہ بہلول دانا اردو میں دانا کہتے ہیں فارسی میں دانا کہتے ہیں انٹیلیجنٹ انٹلیکچول اس کو کہتے ہیں دانا اور لوگ بہلول کو دیوانہ بلاتے ہیں اس لیے ہم نے دانا نام دیا ہے اس کو کہ بہلول دیوانے تھے بہلول دیوانے نہیں تھے بہلول جیسا انٹلیکچول آدمی نہیں تھا اس زمانے میں جو لوگوں کو حکمت دیتا تھا شاعر کہتا ہے میرے مولا تو مجھے عاقل و دانا کر دے شاعر کہتا ہے میرے مولا تو مجھے عاقل و دانا کر دے ایسا ویسا نہیں بہلول کے جیسا کر دے میرے مولا تو مجھے عاقل و دانا کر دے ایسا ویسا نہیں بہلول کے جیسا کر دے بہلول دانا ونس کیم ٹو واز پاسنگ بائی ایک مرتبہ ایک جگہ سے گزر رہا تھا اور مسجد بنی ہوئی برانڈ نیو موسک بنی ہوئی تھی مسجد بنی ہوئی تھی بہلول دانا نے مسجد کو دیکھا بہت خوش ہوا اور ایک مرتبہ کہنے لگا کہ سبحان اللہ یہ مسجد کس نے بنائی تو جس نے مسجد بنائی تھی اتفاقاً وہ بھی وہاں کھڑا ہوا تھا تو کہا مسجد میں نے بنائی ماشاء اللہ خدا آپ کا بھلا کرے آپ نے اتنی خوبصورت مسجد بنائی ہے کیوں بنائی آپ نے مسجد کہا بہلول تم پاگل ہو تمہارا دماغ خراب ہو گیا کہا کیوں نہیں کہا پوچھ رہا ہوں کیوں مسجد بنائی ہے کہا نہیں بہلول مسجد کس لیے بنائی جاتی للہ عز و جل اللہ کے لیے مسجد بنائی ہے میں نے خدا کے لیے مسجد بنائی ہے میں نے پروردگار کے لیے مسجد بنائی بس بہلول یہی سننا چاہتے تھے بہلول چلے گئے گھر دوسرے دن صبح کو بہلول ایک بورڈ لے کے آئے ہاتھ میں اس کے اوپر لکھا تھا مسجد بہلول بڑا بورڈ لے کے آئے بہلول اس پہ لکھا مسجد بہلول آئے مسجد کے باہر اور اس بورڈ کو لا کے چپکا دیا مسجد کے باہر جب جس نے مسجد بنائی آیا اس نے دیکھا کہ یہاں مسجد بہلول کا بورڈ پڑا ہوا ہے بہلول کو کہا تم دیوانے تو نہیں ہو گئے ہو تم نے ایک پائی دی تھی اس مسجد کے لیے کہا نہیں مگر بہلول کہنے لگے مگر آپ نے تو کہا تھا کہ یہ مسجد للہ عز و جل بنائی ہے خدا کے لیے بنائی کہا ہاں میں نے کہا تھا اللہ کے لیے مسجد بنائی ہے تو کہا اگر اللہ کے لیے بنائی تھی تو آپ کو کیا فرق پڑتا ہے یہ مسجد بہلول ہو کہ کون سی مسجد ہو اگر اللہ کے لیے تھی تو آپ کو کیا فرق پڑتا ہے اس کا مطلب یہ ہوا کہ آپ کے دل میں کچھ اور تھا آپ کی زبان میں کچھ اور ہے ابھی ڈونیشن دیا مسجد میں نام لکھوایا بندے خدا کسی کو پتا نہیں بندے خدا نے دیا 1000 pounds نام لکھوایا بندے خدا باہر نکلے کا تیرے خبر چھ کون ہے تو یہ بندے خدا تم جانتے ہو بندے خدا کون تھا میں تھا دل میں کچھ اور زبان میں کچھ اور یزید ابن معاویہ عمر ابن سعد عبید اللہ ابن زیاد جس کو آپ دیکھ لیں جس کو آپ دیکھ لیں ان کے اندر آپ کو یہی ڈائیکوٹومی نظر آئے گی ایک طرف کچھ اور دوسری طرف کچھ اور
جب پیغمبر اسلام حضرت محمد مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم ایک قوم کو ایک ہدف دے کے گئے, اس قوم کو سمجھا کے گئے, اس قوم کو دکھا کے گئے, اور اچانک پیغمبر کے جانے کے بعد اس قوم کے اندر ایسی تبدیلی آئی کہ فرزند رسول کو 3 دن کا بھوکا پیاسا لب فرات پہ ذبح کر ڈالا. حسین ابن علی کیا کہتے ہیں, انما خرجت لطلب الاصلاح فی امتی جد رسول اللہ, میری امت کی, میرے جد کی امت کی ریفارمیشن اور اصلاح کے لیے نکل رہا ہوں, حالت بہت بگڑ گئی ہے. اريد ان امر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنکر, میں چاہتا ہوں کہ امر بالمعروف کروں اور نہی عن المنکر کروں. کب نکلے حسین؟ 28 رجب سن 60 ہجری, 60 ہجری 28 رجب کو حسین مدینے سے روانہ ہوئے, 4 شعبان کو مکہ پہنچے, 4th شعبان. پورا شعبان مکے میں گزارا, پورا ماہ مبارک رمضان مکے میں گزارا, پورا شوال مکے میں گزارا, پورا ذیقعد مکے میں گزارا. ذی‌الحج کی 8 تاریخ کو حالت احرام میں حسین نے مکے کو چھوڑا. کیوں رہے مکے میں اتنا عرصہ حسین؟ حسین تو نکلے تھے کوفہ جانے کے لیے نا, حسین نکلے تھے کوفہ جانے کے لیے, حسین کو بلایا گیا تھا کہ آپ کوفے میں آئیے, اس لیے حسین نکلے تھے. کتنے مہینے گزار دیے مکے میں, کیوں؟ ایک ایک کو دعوت دے رہے تھے. فمن قبلنی بقبول الحق فاللہ اولا بالحق, جس نے میری اس دعوت کو قبول کیا اللہ پسند کرتا ہے حق پسندوں کو. ومن رد علی فاصبر, جس نے مجھے ریجیکٹ کیا, میری دعوت کو ریجیکٹ کیا, میں صبر کروں گا. حتی یأتی اللہ بینی وبین القوم بالحق, یہاں تک کہ خداوند تعالی میرے اور قوم کے درمیان حق کا فیصلہ نہ کر لے. واللہ احکم الحاکمین, اللہ بہترین حکم کرنے والا ہے. دعوت دے رہے تھے, جب حسین کے کانوں میں, حسین 8 کو مکہ چھوڑ کے نکل گئے حالت احرام میں, احرام پہن چکے تھے, احرام کو تبدیل کر کے عمرہ کی نیت کر کے حسین نے مکے کو چھوڑا. راستے میں تھے کہ مسلم ابن عقیل کی شہادت کی خبر ملی حسین کو. جب خبر ملی ہے, حسین گھوڑے کے اوپر سوار تھے اور بیویاں خیموں کے اندر تھیں. جب مسلم ابن عقیل کی شہادت کی خبر ملی ہے حسین کو, تو ایک مرتبہ خیمے کے اندر آئے, زمین پہ بیٹھ گئے, مسلم کی بیٹی کو بلایا, جناب مسلم کی بیٹی کو بلایا, جناب مسلم کی بیٹی آئی, حسین نے اپنے نزدیک بٹھایا, سر پہ ہاتھ پھیرا, شفقت سے ہاتھ پھیرنے لگے. ایک مرتبہ بچی تڑپ گئی, چچا جان آپ نے میرے سر پہ شفقت سے ہاتھ پھیرا, کیا بات ہے چچا جان؟ کہا نہیں بیٹا, آج سے تم مجھے بابا کہہ کے پکارو. کہا بیٹا آج سے تم مجھے بابا کہہ کے پکارنا. کہا چچا جان میرے بابا کو کیا ہوا؟ کہا بیٹا تم یتیم ہو گئی ہو, آج سے تم مجھے بابا کہہ کے پکارنا. روایت میں ملتا ہے جناب سکینہ آئیں, بابا یہ یتیمی کس کو کہتے ہیں؟ بابا یتیمی کس کو کہتے ہیں؟ میں کہوں گا بی بی جب کانوں سے گوشوارے چھن جائیں, جب منہ پہ تماچے لگ جائیں, جب دامن میں آگ لگ جائے, تب خود پتا چل جائے گا کہ یتیمی کس کو کہتے ہیں. آزادانِ امام حسین, حسین دوسری محرم کی شب ہے, حسین کربلا پہنچے, حسین کربلا آئے, قافلہ لے کے کربلا آئے,
کربلا کی زمین کو دیکھا نے کہا اس کو شت فرات کہتے ہیں. عزادارہ نے امام حسین نے ایک مرتبہ پوچھا اچھا اس کا کوئی اور بھی نام ہے؟ کہا ہاں اس کو ارض نینوا بھی کہتے ہیں. کہا اور کوئی نام ہے؟ کہا ہاں اس کو القمہ بھی کہتے ہیں. کہا اور کوئی نام ہوگا؟ کہا نہیں اس کو ارض کربلا بھی کہتے ہیں. جب حسین نے کربلا کا نام سنا عباس کو بلایا علی اکبر کو بلایا بھیا عباس خیمے نصب کر لو یہ وہی جگہ ہے. بھیا عباس خیمے نصب کر لو علی اکبر خیمے نصب کر لو. کربلا والوں سے زمین کو خریدا. زمین خریدنے کے بعد اس زمین کو ہبا کیا. وصیتیں کرنا شروع کی. یہ وہ زمین ہے جس زمین پہ حسین شہید ہوگا. یہاں علی اکبر کا سینہ چھد جائے گا. یہاں قاسم گھوڑوں کی ٹاپوں سے پامال ہو جائے گا. اے کربلا والو جب تم یہاں آنا اور ہماری اوریان لاشوں کو دیکھنا تو یہ ہمارے لاشوں پہ دو مٹھی خاک اڑا دینا. اپنے بچوں سے کہنا کہ اگر آئے تو ہمارے بچوں کی لاشوں پہ دو دو مٹھیاں خاک اڑا جائیں. یہ کہنے کے بعد کہتے ہیں کہ رات کی تاریکی میں جب خیمے نصب ہو گئے حسین ارض کربلا میں جب خیمے نصب ہو گئے راوی کہتا ہے میں نے دیکھا کہ رات کی تاریکی میں حسین ابن علی خیمے سے باہر نکلے. باہر نکلنے کے بعد میں نے دیکھا کہ ارض کربلا کی طرف مقتل کی طرف حسین چلنے لگے. تھوڑی دیر کے بعد حسین زمین پہ بیٹھ گئے گریا کرنے لگے رونے لگے پھر کھڑے ہوئے پھر دوسری جگہ پہ آئے پھر بیٹھے پھر گریا کیا پھر تیسری جگہ. ایک صحابی حسین کے پیچھے پیچھے جہاں حسین جا رہے تھے وہاں وہ صحابی پیچھے پیچھے جا رہا تھا. ایک مرتبہ راوی کہتا ہے کہ صحابی نے حسین سے پوچھا مولا یہ کیا بات ہے رات کی تاریکی ہے آپ تنہا ہے یہ ایک ایک جگہ پہ بیٹھ کے رونے کا مقصد کیا؟ کہا تم نہیں سمجھا یہاں میرے عباس کے شان قلم ہوگی. یہ وہ جگہ ہے جہاں میرے عباس کے شان قلم ہوگی. یہ وہ جگہ ہے جہاں میرے علی اکبر کا سینہ چھچ جائے گا. یہ وہ جگہ ہے جہاں میرا ننہ علی اصغر پیاسا مر جائے گا. آزادارہ نے امام حسین ابھی خیمے میں آ رہے تھے کہ حسین نے اچانک ایک مرتبہ خیمے کی طرف نگاہ کی دیکھا فضا رات کی تاریکی میں خیمے سے باہر نکل آئی. حسین نے فضا سے پوچھا فضا تمہارا خیمے سے باہر نکلنے کا مقصد کیا ہے؟ ایک مرتبہ فضا نے کہا آپ کو زینب نے یاد کیا ہے. میری آقا زادی زینب نے آپ کو یاد کیا. حسین زینب کے خیمے میں آئے بہن زینب کیا بات ہے؟ کہا بھیا میری التجا ہے بھیا میری خواہش ہے اس جگہ سے خیموں کو اٹھا دیا جائے. بھیا یہاں سے خیمے ہٹا دیے جائیں. بھیا یہ جگہ عجیب و غریب جگہ ہے. کہا کیا بات ہے زینب گھبراؤ نہیں میں بھی ہوں علی اکبر بھی ہیں قاسم بھی ہیں سید سجاد بھی ہیں اصحاب بھی ہیں گھبرانے کی کوئی بات نہیں. کہا نہیں بھیا یہاں سے خیمے ہٹا دیے جائے. کہا زینب کیوں؟ کہا نہ جانے کیوں کسی بی بی کے رونے کی آواز آتی. بھیا نہ جانے کیوں اس زمین پہ کسی بی کے رونے کی آواز آتی ہے. ایک مرتبہ حسین نے کہا زینب نہ پہچانا یہ ماں فاطمہ زہرا کیا. سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. ماتم حسین.